Introduction to the Vintage Books Edition, 2025. The year I was 10 years old, I went in search of my Black literary life. I didn't know that was what I was looking for, but knew there was a missing in my world. And I knew this absence had to do with books, my own dream of writing them one day, my neighborhood, my family, and all that I knew myself to be at that age. The dialogue of strangers lived freely in my imagination. The words of half-formed characters I did not yet understand, but knew I had not met in the pages of fiction. I knew the something I was looking for had to do with all this and with years spent searching through the books of my childhood for any kind of Black girl I could find. The writer and scholar, Dr. Rudine Sims Bishop, spoke of the importance of young people having both mirrors and windows in their literature. Mirrors so that they can see reflections of themselves in the books they read. Windows so that they can see outside their own lives and into the experiences of others. At 10, nearly two decades before Dr. Bishop wrote of mirrors and windows, I was searching through the books in both my school and my public library for some part of myself in the bigger world. I was living in Brooklyn, a child of the Great Migration, replanted and unsteady in this new world. I was lanky and ashy-kneed, a tomboy standing in the shadow of a beautiful and brilliant older sister. My memory of that time is one of melancholy and solitude, even as I also remember days spent running the streets with my friends and living in a small, crowded apartment with my parents and three siblings. As a writer, I know now that years erase the clarity of physical memory, leaving behind only the sepia-toned edges of the emotions once felt. In this place, from that clear-eyed, seemingly evergreen emotion, a novel, especially this novel, begins. The bluest eye is sepia, and it is evergreen. Decades after reading this book, the characters continue to haunt me, as does the sense of deep love and devastating loss, hope destroyed and rebuilt, community recognized and embraced, all from the perspective of a melancholy Black girl. When finally found, the bluest eye was everything I needed to begin my own journey towards story. By then, the dream of one day being a writer had become a shaky one. I was a slow reader. I was not wealthy. I was not white. And contrary to what my relatives said about me, I didn't believe I was even pretty, let alone beautiful. Reflected inside the books I had been exposed to thus far were people who did not look or live as I did. But the ancestors had other plans for me. One afternoon, as I sat down in front of the shelves of books lining the back wall of my fifth grade classroom at PS 106 in the Bushwick neighborhood of Brooklyn, a then working class neighborhood of Black, Latino, Polish, and German people, I found, snuggled in among the multiple copies of Harriet the Spy, Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret, and from the mixed-up files of Mrs. Basil E. Frankweiler, a thin paperback. On the cover, a Black woman, her pastel-ribboned hair looking like someone's cheap wig, held a blonde-haired doll. Below the image, in thick Black letters, was the book's title, The Bluest Eye. It was an awful cover, and yet I was fascinated. I must have reached up and touched the satin ribbons in my own hair, ribbons I would be forced to wear for another 3 years. And, child of the 1970s that I was, aside from the occasional Black Barbie and Chrissy dolls that showed up at our home, most of my dolls were pale-skinned and blue-eyed. Even if I was not fooled by the woman masquerading as a girl on the cover, something about all of it, the ribbons, the doll, the title, let me know I had found home. Let me